This episode is sponsored by quality and innovative Game Bore cartridges. Game Bore shot shells are the choice of world champion David Radulovich and 26 times world champion George Digweed MBE. White Gold and Dark Storm contain precision-made diamond shot, manufactured exclusively in England, and coupled with high-performance smooth velocities, providing less felt recoil. If you're serious about your scores, you have to shoot with the best. When every clay counts, make sure you never compromise. Game Bore is the most decorated FITASC and sporting clay shot shells in the sport's history. Available now throughout the U.S., exclusively from KL Ammo. Find them online at www.gameboreus.com. Game Bore are simply the champion's choice. Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast with your hosts, Jason Rambo and Sean Alley. We bring you all things sporting clay. Our focus is bringing new shooters to the sport and helping all shooters by giving you the most useful info from coaches, pro shooters, gun clubs, product and service specialists. The Dead Pair Podcast, what every shotgun shooter wants to hear.
Paul?
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Rambo. With me, the man that's large and ugly and in charge, Mr. Sean Alley.
Accurate on all three counts.
I snuck that in there, didn't I?
I heard you.
Sean Alley, the Ohio State shoot. Wow.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
that was actually a fantastic tournament, one of the best run tournaments I've been to. I think Sean and his staff at Hillendale did a wonderful job. The amenities were fantastic. They even expanded the course and went into some areas of the property where we had not shot prior.
Yes. And for everyone listening, we were able to catch up with John Kruger and Sean Spindell, which is the manager at the Hillendale Club. We were able to sit down with them for a few minutes. I want everybody to listen to this interview. John said some really interesting things, and so did Sean. And, but, you know, just wow. I mean, Sean and I, we're not like all the big pros. We don't, you know, stay on the circuit every month of the year. And but the shoots that we've been to, I mean, Sean, you've been down to Gator Cup. I've been to the Florida State shoot. This is our fourth state shoot. We've been to some regionals, been to a lot of local shoots. And I can tell you right now, the flow of this tournament was amazing. There was a couple holdups simply because Sean and I, it was just me, Sean, and Chad Roberts on a squad. Our fourth guy didn't make it to the shoot. So we were shooting a little quicker than the squad in front of us. We were able to catch up to them a few times, but that was okay. You know, we got to see some extra targets.
I don't think it was a big deal. I mean, we were going to be faster no matter what, but no, I don't think it was that big of a deal.
But my point was, is we didn't get backed up.
I mean,
as many people as what was there. The flow stayed pretty good.
Yeah, no, again, hats off to the crew there at Hillendale. Sean and his crew ran a ship-shape event. I mean, it was really just really nice. They did everything right. You could tell they put a lot of planning into it, and you can tell that just from the work they put into it is what made it what it was, which was a great shoot.
Yeah. So, hey, listen, let's catch up with our sponsors here real quick. We're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we're going to come right back with Sean Spindell and John Kruger from the Ohio State shoot.
Hey shooters, when you're traveling, protect your gun in the finest case available. Negrini is a sponsor of the Dead Pair Podcast, and right now, use the promo code DEADPAIR, that's DEADPAIR all one word, for a 10% discount off your order. Plus, if your order totals more than $300, they're going to throw in free shipping. Remember, Negrini, we case your memories.
RE Ranger, you can't hit what you can't see. With 14 clay sight lenses manufactured by Carl Zeiss Vision, Ranger lenses add target clarity and contrast no matter the lighting condition. Visit reranger.com for all your shooting eyewear needs. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. on orders of $90 or more. And if you use the code DEADPAIR at checkout, you will save 10% off your order. See it further. See it faster. See it with precision with RE Ranger.
We are here at Hillendale for the Ohio State shoot. Joining us is John Kruger and Sean Spindell. How are you guys doing so far?
Great.
It's been a, has it been a good weekend?
It's been going pretty smooth on our end.
Yeah. I got to just dive right into this. I'm dying to ask this question. You are arguably one of the greatest shooters that the United States has ever produced. Can you just give our listeners a few highlights for the people that, you know, have been living under a rock and don't know who you are? Can you give us a few of the highlights of your career?
Oh, I mean, a lot of it spanned over many disciplines of trap, pigeons, elise. A lot of it was just, in the beginning, very exciting, and I guess people, when they get into it now, are very excited about it because it's all new, but back then it was new. There wasn't anybody. So I was fortunate enough, I think, to have gotten into it in the very beginning and be good enough at it that a lot of championships were won, but there wasn't the amount of people in it now or the caliber of people that practice and get after it now. But I don't know. I mean, I was always kind of proud of being first inductee into the Hall of Fame and had 26 consecutive years on first team All-American and captain several times, 8 U.S. Open championships. Had 7 different gold medal team championships and 7 different disciplines of shotgun shooting. So I always enjoyed all the shotgun shooting.
Yeah.
No matter what it was.
Now, in sporting clays, you won both in the USFCA, did I say that right?
Yes.
were a national champion in both. Is that correct?
I never did win the national championships for NSC.
Oh, you did not? Okay.
Nope.
So that was USCA back then.
Yeah.
You won. Okay. Gotcha. So you had a pretty long, obviously, successful career. What was it that made you kind of take a step back and put everything on pause?
I very much enjoy woodworking, and that was a big part of it. I got a little frustrated with going to some of these big shoots. And to me, the money I spend and how much I get out of it is important. So It got to be a 50-50 chance whether or not you're going to have nice targets to shoot at, quality targets, but it just seemed like these guys wanted to make a few of them top guys miss and throw targets that they think they could miss. Well, they just made it very difficult for the majority of the people to ever have fun at those shoots.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you beat yourself. You get a game that's got to take care of all the classes, sub-junior, junior, ladies, all the way through it. It's not the U.S. Open. It's not the Masters. It's not the top 150 people, period. There, you have that spectrum of difficulty. You know, the difficulty just boils down to where all those classes come down to. The PSCA helped that out when it was going because you knew those targets were going to be hard.
Right.
You knew they were going to be hard. And that's fine. But in majority of the shoots, it's kind of trying to take care of all of them, not just the top guys.
Well, that raises two questions. Do you think that's maybe two things that's holding the sport back is the difficulty of targets seem to be more focused on the top tier guys? And then also with what you said about, you know, 50-50 chance of being in the money, do you think maybe the money structure, the payout structure needs to be revised a little bit?
Well, I don't know so much about the money. The 50-50 chance to me was a 50-50 chance whether I was going to have good targets to shoot at or crap, because you go shoot trap or skeet, you know what you're going to get. You shoot this game, and until you walk up to the first station, you have no idea what it's going to be. So, you know, FITASC has always kind of been associated with a little more difficult targets. You could go back to every regional since they started, and there's been more people in master class than double A, B, C, D, E, and E combined. I mean, that tells you something. It tells you the lower class people really don't want to pay that extra money to be embarrassed or made to look stupid, I guess.
Okay. Well, following that up, so I guess my question would be, now, what was it that caused you to come back into the game to start setting targets? And then the other side of that, are we ever going to see you shoot again?
I doubt you'll ever see me shoot again.
Okay.
Just my mind goes to something else. I still enjoy instructing and setting targets at shoots. And that's all in my mind as being something exciting. But the shooting part of it, no.
Okay. Gotcha. So I want to shift gears for a second. Sean, I already know the answer. This is a rhetorical question. Was John an easy pick for you when you guys were looking for target setters?
Absolutely. When this opportunity came up, we jumped on it immediately, and we're so happy. Everybody's had an awesome time. I have not heard one negative on any targets out there, and obviously this is, I've been managing this club for 20 years and always looked up to John. When this opportunity came up, it was absolutely awesome.
Am I correct in hearing this is the largest Ohio State shoot?
I believe so.
Wow, that's awesome.
I haven't seen the final main event entries, but I think overall total shooters were almost close to 450 shooters. So
that's just awesome. Yeah. What do you contribute that to? Do you think it has something to do with everybody on lockdown last year, or do you think it's just the Thompson targets, or is it a combination of everything? What do you attribute it to?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. OSCA has done a great job making this a premier shoot to begin with. Our club, Hillendale, I think has a part in that too. We try to make sure that we take care of everybody as they come in. John coming in and set targets, definitely. With all, everything going on last year, this is sort of the first big party or big shoot that I think Ohio's seen, where we've all been able to get together and relax a little bit and have fun again. So I think all those things led to being a great shoot.
Well, Jason and I can attest. I mean, you guys have done a phenomenal job. We had a great time. Targets were fantastic. And even though this is the biggest shoot so far, I mean, this thing is run like a Swiss watch. So
yeah.
Compliments to you and the staff at Hillendale and John for setting great targets. I mean, you guys have really done a bang-up job. Now, when did you really start planning for this event? I mean, how far back do we have to go to kind of really set the wheels in motion?
Well, I mean, there's a logistics in the background that started, 6-8 months ago, just getting things here and there. It's small things, but our staff, it's been really neat. We've got a great staff. Everybody's been here for quite a while, and they know what to do. And so, usually I think a lot of places will start 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead, getting grounds taken care of. Our guys were doing that on their own and, making this place look pretty and things opened up where we could have new presentations and new ideas, fresh looks, and they were doing that on their own, a month ago, and it made getting everything done so much easier. Everybody knows where they need to be and what to do, and the course managers are taking care of all their scorekeepers and keeping traps and everything moving. Having Nick Sage and John, making sure that having this many people, we're not always used to it. Nick's seen that all over the place. John's seen it all over the place. And they're giving us those small reminders that we need of how we keep them all moving along and keep everything going. So it's been the smoothest shoot that I can think, on my side at least, of the 8 or 10 that we've done here. So,
well, Sean and I being regular shooters here at Hillendale, you opened up that new back section down on the green course in the woods. And boy, is that ever pretty back there. What are some of the major things that you had to do to get ready for the shoot? I know I was up here a week before and you had a dump truck with the gravel coming in and stuff. What are some of the major things? I know it takes a billion little things, but what are some of the major things you had to do to get ready for the shoot?
Well, I'm never going to fess up that it's just for the shoot that we're doing those things. A lot of these shooting stands are brand new with the roofs and everything. And the gravel we put down, that's partially because of the shoot. It was good timing.
Yeah.
The shoot really is kind of a good thing. It kicks us in the butt to get some of these projects that we want to get done to the property earlier. And, it just keeps us getting better. It keeps the infrastructure of the club.
Well, we noticed that, you opened up part of the back section back there that we don't usually get to see. And, just every time you turn your head, this is such a beautiful course. You guys have ponds and woods, and I mean, the presentations were awesome. I mean, is that going to be a regular part of the shoots from now on, or are we just going to kind of wait and save that for special events?
I don't think it's going to be a permanent, it's not going to be an everyday type thing, but I think we'll be using it, more than we have in the past. Awesome.
John, your targets are known as being a little bit more slower and tactical, where a lot of people, they think because of the state shoot, they need something fast, edgy, way out there. You kind of beat them with technicality. You know, what is that your flavor? Is that what you like to shoot as far as what you would like to shoot? Is that how you base that?
No, not at all. It's based mostly on just years and years of seeing what people like and don't like.
Yeah.
What, you know, 65% of the people that shoot this gun are 55 and older. So, I mean, for me, it's setting targets, seeing so many targets over the years, being at so many tournaments. I paid a lot of attention to what people like and don't like, what the majority of the people can handle and what they can't. It always amazed me that some of these gun clubs would throw these very difficult targets, walk up to the club owner and say, oh, that's great that people get to shoot these targets all week long, and, you know, that's nice. And they go, oh, God, we can't throw targets like this during the week. Nobody will come shoot. Well, why do you want to throw them at a tournament then?
That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, that's an awesome point.
Yeah, every one of them will put the course back to user-friendly and fun and enjoyable after those big shoots, after they just handed everybody their, you know, their whatever.
I mean, do you think that's just, do you think that attitude, because Jason and I shoot all over, I've been to the Gator Cup, we're going to go to the Nationals this year, so we're starting to see more and more people set targets. The last 2 years we've shot the Ohio State shoot, Rick Hemingway set those targets, he's kind of known to throw fast and edgy stuff. I mean, that seems to be more of the common theme these days for bigger tournaments. But, you know, today and yesterday, I can tell you kicked my butt on a few things that really didn't look like they would have challenged me. But, man, I'll tell you what, if you're not really focused in on what you're doing, being patient, you know, letting that bird open up towards the best shot, I mean, it'll bite you. And I got bit several times. So hats off to you for setting such great targets.
To me, it was a game that was designed for hunting. That's what Sporting Clays was originally designed for. Let people practice for hunting. Then it turned into a tournament atmosphere. So to me, it's to keep that hunting. You know, you get some of these targets, these guys throwing, no ethical hunter would ever take a shot at a bird that far away.
Yeah. Right. You don't see too many 65-mile-an-hour pheasants flying 80 yards off.
No. So it's keeping the game to what it was meant to be. And, you know, 25 years ago, you just didn't see, yes, people can hit those big, long targets, but very few people can hit those big, long targets. So you just pound on people, and all you got to do is crank up, put speed, really, on any presentation of target. If it's got a lot of speed on it, most people can't handle it. Again, it gets back to what I was saying, you know, 65% of the people that shoot this game are 55 and older. They're the people that can afford it. They're the people that keep you open.
Yeah.
They're there every week.
Yeah.
So if you're throwing, and the older you get, the harder it is to see targets.
Right.
Those edgy targets are difficult for a lot of people to see. The woods course here, I chose to, there's only three stations out of 16 that have true pair. Because when the lighting gets bad and everything strobes through the lighting, throwing true pairs is very difficult for the older people to pick that second target up out there. So there's no need to beat them up just trying to throw true pairs that are difficult to see in this type of background.
Well, not only the older people, but, I mean, there's a lot of new people coming into the sport. E-class, D-class, C-class shooters. I mean, you certainly don't want to frustrate them to the point where, oh, I'm not good enough to hang with these guys. So I can see the logic, and I agree with it.
As far as, you know, tournament-wise anyway, I'm more impressed with somebody that can keep it all together than somebody that can shoot a 70-mile-an-hour fast crosser, quarter and away target. People can keep it together for the whole tournament and have... And the variety is a thing for me. You know, there's a few fast targets out there. You know, not very many, but it's there. So the variation in speeds and angles and everything else and a bit of variety is more appealing to me to set than just everything cranked up, quartered out, or crossing, or coming at you.
Yeah. The woodwork that you do is amazing. Has that always been a hobby of yours, or is that something you got into later on? Or?
No, I actually had a cabinet furniture shop before I started shooting full time. Let that go and shop, you know, pretty much for 30 years. And then, but in that 30-year time period, I started collecting back woodworking machinery for someday when I retire. And but the wood turning's always, you know, I've always done that because it doesn't take much room to do it, and it's easy to find wood to do it. But now I have larger machinery to do furniture, cabinets, and everything else.
That's really cool.
Yeah, the trophies are great. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing who gets those because those are definitely going to be family heirlooms to be passed down.
Yeah, you know, well, mine are trophies. They're for sale.
But, the, I mean, all in all, those things are great. I looked at them. They're gorgeous. And how much time do you put into those when you make them? How many hours do you have in making a piece?
It's not. I've done it for so long, it doesn't take very long. Okay. I probably get 450 of them sitting in my studio now.
Well, there you go, Sean. You can buy your first
place. I'm going to go out there and look at it. I'm definitely going to go out and look at it.
So. Buy your first place. Yeah. John, how have you, you know, I know you totally took a break here for a while. It was probably, what, 5 or 6 years ago you came back and started setting targets and stuff like that. How have the machines changed in the last few years as far as being able to throw different presentations?
You know, I never really took a break from setting targets. I've always set targets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, even way back in the heat of competition, I would set probably 5 or 6 shoots a year. And that was all part of, I mean, it wasn't just shooting tournaments. It was giving lessons, doing setting targets for people, trick shooting shows. I mean, it was just a lot of different things that interested me and kept me going with it. But as far as machines, I mean, when I first started out, everything was handsets. Everything. Every place you went was handsets. And then when the automatic machines started coming around, there's still things you can't do with an automatic that you could do with those handsets. Yeah. But the technology and the way they build these machines now, you can do a lot of crazy, crazy things with these machines. And they're so, we had just very, very little breakage, but you're always going to have that because you can't have 135 targets in a case and not have flaws in some of them or whatever, but just very little breakage, very little, you know, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, basically packing eggs around the course, loading them into machines.
And then that goes back to the quality of work you have from the people that are here doing those jobs. And if they take a little bit of pride in how they get them targets out there and how they load them and everything, then that makes it much more enjoyable for all the people that are shooting and not have to look at broken targets all the time. Pretty good.
Well, Sean, for those that don't know, the USC gives the bid for the Ohio State shooting for 2 years. So you guys are going to be doing this again next year. How likely is it we're going to see John back again next year?
You know, we'll see.
Wait and see.
We'd love to have him back. We'll be talking for sure. So
good.
Yeah,
I'd love to see you back again.
Yeah.
These targets have been fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. I know you have some history with Hilldale. What's your take on from then till now? What do you think of this?
Oh, it's, I mean, it had to have been at least 20 years ago since I've been here. And I very much remember the horse in the woods.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been up there. We had the field,
but it was a different footprint back then.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because that all looked different to me. I don't believe the clubhouse was here.
I think we had just finished building it, probably when you were here. I think probably 2002, maybe 2003. So.
Yeah, and then just all, I mean, the roads and the way it's laid out, how you can move around to different venues, the small gauge fee task, regular fee task, everything just, you know, very well laid out. Very, very few places in the United States, I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of them. as nice as this place. Very few.
My wife came last night and joined us for the dinner, and I had to run out front in the side-by-side to grab her, and we were coming back in. She's been to a couple different clubs, and we were coming back too, and she just kept looking around going, wow, this place is so pretty. This place is so pretty. So I went ahead and took her on past the clubhouse here, to the backside over here, and showed her. She's like, how many bonds are on this property? And I'm like, you haven't seen the courses yet. Yeah. So, but how many bonds are there?
Officially, I think there you could say 20, but there's about 15 that are actually ponds.
And we're not just talking quarter-acre ponds. These are sizable ponds.
We've got
half-acre plus.
We've got three or four decent-sized lakes, I guess you'd even call them, but you know, there's, most of them are half-acre to an acre-size pond. It's been neat. You know, I'm usually here early and here late, and there's a lot of people camping in the back, and usually you can see them hanging out at the lakes, and they might be wetting a line and having a good time. It's, the shoot's been great, but just seeing everybody enjoy this property and us being able to show it off has been neat. Everybody's proud of this place. It's neat to see everybody enjoy it.
Well, we hooked old Chad Roberts from California to come out here. We kept talking about this place, and of course, John set targets. He made a trip out from California to shoot with us, and I bet you, how many times in the last 3 days, 4 days, he told me how much fun he's having and how gorgeous this place is.
Yeah.
Of course, thing with the Grand Salt, guys used to shoot in the desert. But he just, I agree with everything he's over here, but he said it was really, really fun. He enjoyed the dinner last night, and he's just.
He did say that was the best dinner he's ever been to.
Yeah,
so the food was the greatest that he's had at any tournament many times. So that's got to be pretty high praise from Chad.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
And not to mention that, but you guys are running such a great club here. I mean, I hear the waiting list is pretty far out to become a member here these days.
At the moment, it is. It sure is. Yeah, it's a good problem to have. We hate to not be able to let anybody in, but the way we're set up, we're taking care of our members. That's the service we've provided, and we're it's the way we're set up at this point. So.
Well, for the non-members, you still throw a monthly tournament?
Almost monthly. I think we do 8 or 10 per year. We take a break during hunting season for a few months, but in general, we throw one once a month. So,
well, guys, this has been awesome. I really appreciate John meeting you. Shooting your targets has been a thrill. It really was a great change to what a lot of the stuff we've been seeing lately. And Sean, always a pleasure to come out here at Hillendale and shoot with you guys. This place is great. I'll be back. Let me just be back, guys.
Yes, thank you both very much. John, you almost forced a set of cola barrels around the tree a couple times. Demonstrating myself. They were fun targets, and we really appreciate you coming out. Sean, thank you for doing all this.
Thank you, guys.
We'll definitely be talking soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
American-made Atlas traps are made right here in Kansas and feature the finest quality, innovation, and support in the business. Atlas traps are made using aircraft-quality aluminum and stainless steel to ensure your traps will outlast the competition.
So whether you're an individual needing a private trap for practice and recreation, or a club needing to outfit your entire facility, family-owned and operated Atlas traps can suit all your needs.
Visit atlastraps.com to see the full line of commercial and recreational traps and accessories. With prices that won't make you see red and quality that won't leave you feeling blue, Atlas has the finest equipment available.
All right, so we're back, Jason. Again, kind of nice to listen to that again. John was a heck of a guy, and Sean, of course, is a great guy. So.
Dude, John Krueger.
Yeah.
We got to sit across the table from John Krueger and have a conversation. How cool.
Yeah, and it was really, to me, it was interesting because I know you and I have basically shot most of the same shoots. And what we've been seeing is, fast, edgy, technical targets. And when we shot those targets, I was a little bit surprised at the targets he threw. They were great targets, but none of them were, ridiculously fast. None of them were ridiculously far. Like John said in the interview, sporting clays came out of hunting presentations. And he says, most people aren't going to take these big wild shots at game. That would be irresponsible if you're a hunter. So it made a lot of sense. And I also think that he makes a good point with, you know, older shooters with that have eye problems and stuff, seeing those kind of targets. Also, newer shooters that aren't experienced enough, and they could possibly get frustrated at the level of some targets like we've seen. I mean, you know, when we first started out, there was a few of them we went to and we're like, wow, you know, just absolutely killer. But I think whatever the level was, my opinion was you saw great targets. They were all very hittable, no matter what your experience level was. But take anything for granted, and you're going to lose birds.
Well, and, you know, how many times we step up to a station and be like, oh, these are easy. Yep. And then you go dead loss, lost dead, lost pair. And it's like, oh, my God, that just happened to me on that pair. And, you know, like I said, I wanted to bend my barrels around a couple trees out there. We've talked about this before in the past on this show. The more aggravated I am at myself, the better I know the target setter was.
Right.
And John didn't. He threw fun targets.
And fair targets.
And very fair targets. He didn't throw anything that was over the top or, you know, I think you summed it up best.
Yeah. I don't think there was a target out there that somebody couldn't hit with at least a reasonable amount of experience. There was nothing out there that was just like, there's no way in heck I'm going to hit that thing.
Well, let's hear from one of the pros. I was able to catch up with Chad Roberts right before, I mean, literally, he was getting in the car to go get on an airplane. I was able to catch up with him for 5 minutes. You guys need to check this out. This is a pretty cool wrap up because he came in the Tuesday before the shoot, he shot the whole weekend with us and then left out Monday afternoon. I was able to catch up with him for a few minutes. Everybody check this out. This is pretty cool. All right, everyone. Sorry if it's a little echoey. We're out here in the shop. Chad's getting ready to get on a plane to head back to California. And, you know, Chad Roberts joined us there last week when he flew into Ohio for the Ohio State shoot. Now it's Monday afterwards. And I thought it'd be neat to do like 5 minutes with Chad, kind of get his overall take now that he's seen everything. Chad, now that you've been to Ohio, you know, Sean and I flap our gums a lot about the clubs and stuff in Ohio. You've got to visit only three of them in your short time. And, of course, the Ohio State shoot. What's your overall opinion of sporting clays in Ohio?
I think it's really strong. I've always heard about how Ohio has put out some really good. It was a perfect opportunity for me to come see it, you know, and I've been trying to build my business to be able to go across the country and go into different pockets of where I think it would be neat to kind of set a groundwork for future lessons and future shoots. And I've always been told that the Ohio State's been a great shoot, and it was a good opportunity. We were going to come out here for the Masterclass 300, and that got canceled. So I ended up still coming out here and doing some lessons up at C4. Actually went out there, and I thought that was a great property, and worked with a bunch of students out there, and also got to talk to Scott about it. And he has a ridiculous five stand, so if anybody ever wants to check out a really cool indoor heated five stand, a good place to try it. You know, just the green background kind of reminds me of like going to somewhere out East Coast, like at Anthony's place or somewhere in Maryland, you know, but it's got that kind of that vibe of being in the mountains. You know, everything here is just green and luscious. You know, went to the Ohio State over at Hillendale and I was just blown away with the facility. It was really nice. You know, they brought a top old school top end guy that could kick your butt with targets with John Kruger. And, you know, it was nice to shoot his targets again and talk to him because it's been a while. And, you know, the targets were great. There were some high scores in almost every event, but still you had to hit them all. And I was fortunate to tie for five stand for first, and we got a big shoot off. And then we walked out in that arena, and those targets were like what we see on some of the big, big tour events. And I was like, oh, man, and was able to be, I know Cameron Hicks hit all eight of his and his shoot off for Super Sport, and I hit all my eight for the win in five stand. So it was really cool. Great crowd. They hung out afterwards, which you don't see that too much during award ceremonies. Great group of people. You know, even being from California, I wasn't told to get my trophy and get out of here, you know, so I was able to check it out. And, you know, everybody was really supportive. And, you know, I met so many people. So for me, it was just a fantastic trip. Got to see your property over at your mom's and where we're sitting out here now, and got we did a mini lesson, and we're shooting some really cool targets. And I think I gave you some good tips, and
yeah,
hopefully it'll help you. Yeah, well, it did help you for some reason, because we shot last week and you ended up winning state and feet task in your class. So
yeah,
that was a great outing for yourself. So you know, a lot of people always ask us, do you get bored doing this, or does it get old? It doesn't, because that's what we get kind of addicted to, see what we're going to see next.
Right.
And for me, this was a new area. And it was really neat, you know. I think it's the same probably feeling people have when we go, man, you got to come out to Arizona and shoot at the Western Regional or whatever at Tucson. They get out there and they're like, where's the background, you know?
Yeah.
And I get out here and goes, there's way too much background. So, the tree course, the green course was amazing. I love the targets, super technical.
At Hillendale.
Yeah, at Hillendale were awesome. And, you know, even the field course, it was just a good event. The FITAS course was good. The Super Sport was probably my favorite course, because it wasn't super hard, but it was kind of technical and you had to hit them all. It's great warm up, great tree shots, just fun, you know.
Yeah.
The food blew me away, was excellent for the dinner. So I can't complain. I mean, I think they had great trophies, a great group of people. Sean Spindell and all those guys down at the club were just very warming and welcoming to me. They did a great job.
Yeah, I was blown away the amount of people that walked up to you and said, hey, you're Rad Chad Roberts, yeah. You know. that was kind of cool to see that. I'm sure it kind of made you feel at home a little bit.
It did. You know, you never know when you know, being from California, we always get the weird looks and, oh, you guys shoot guns out there. And yeah, we do. And there's a lot of clubs that throw a lot of targets, more than most places in the United States. So, you know, I'm not the only one that says that. There's a lot of people out there that tell you that. Zach and I used to work at a club, you know, that I still frequent now. And they used to throw 9.5 million targets. I mean, there's people out there that shoot. It's kind of its own little bubble. Not everybody does a lot of traveling like I do. They kind of stay in the region. So they go to Arizona, Utah, you know, Wyoming, Oregon, New Mexico. And then they'll shoot out to the Texas shoot, or, you know, for the Nationals, right. Or they'll go to Anthony's or something, because everybody talks about it. So this is one of those places I think everybody should come to. So next year, they had a lot of shooters too. I think had the most they have ever had.
Yeah, it was a record breaking. I think Sean said it was over 400 and some shooters. I can't remember the exact number, but I'll find out.
Yeah, it was a lot of shooters, and that was cool. And it didn't feel like there was a lot of shooters, so that can tell you how big this place is. But one thing I thought was cool is they said that the way your state association works is that you guys get your states every 2 years.
Two-year bid.
So we're going to be back at Hillendale next year.
Yeah.
So I plan on coming. I plan on coming out early and probably staying a little bit longer this time, since I know how rad it is out here. So I'll definitely be out here and doing it. I don't know if you'll still be here. You'll be here. You'll be down in Florida or somewhere.
I'll be back and forth. But we'll still have a place here in Ohio. So looking forward to you coming back. As far as the state shoot goes, we didn't have any holdups. I think the flow of everything, there was no backups of squads or anything. I think the flow of everything went really well. We didn't have a lot of broken targets, which is a testament to the staff there being careful loading targets and stuff. And I thought it was great. So let's help everybody real quick if we could. You know, it's hard to train for a specific style of target when you're going to an event, because no matter how much you think you know the target setter, they always throw something in there to surprise you. So what would you do to prep someone? If someone said, hey, I'm getting ready to go shoot Tennessee State, what would you do to prep them to get ready for a shoot like this?
As I go into getting more experience myself by shooting, I'm no different than anybody else. I think experience is hard to teach. We can't teach it, but we can talk about it. What I would probably do in the future, now that I know that, I believe John's going to come back and set the targets, I have seen his targets before. And now that I've seen the terrain that he uses, there was a lot of off speed stuff, and it was either off speed and far, or off speed and close. And you didn't have a lot of, it looks like you could hit it somewhere, but you shouldn't. And you make some mistakes. I definitely did. I stayed pretty much in the 90s the whole weekend. I had I've been shooting not the greatest for a while now, and it felt like I was kind of getting back in the groove. again, it didn't look hard. I guess that was the neat thing about it. It's kind of like Anthony. When I go to Anthony's place, a lot of the targets don't look hard, but they'll get you. He's not trying to make you lose all six birds. He's just trying to get you to take one or two out of your stations. And if you look at my scorecard, I have a lot of ones, and I had a lot of ones on my first pairs. So, just train in, there's so many ways you can do it, and everybody has their own gig on how they train. But I would first, if you can, find out who the target setter is. If you know who it is, cause you shoot, you can kind of know what to expect. If I have Joe Skull setting a target at a shoot, I know I'm going to, it's balls to the walls. I gotta step it up.
Right.
If I have Anthony setting it, he'll do some of that, but a lot of times he'll get you under 35 yards and you think it's at 45 and you just miss. John makes you work the least amount of gun movement as possible and really use your eyes and see what you're trying to do and make good plans. And if you don't make a good plan, you'll miss one.
Yeah.
And you'll come back. I think I saw you do it. I saw everybody on our squad do it. They'll miss one and go, oh man, that was what it was doing. Okay, cool. And then you'll run the station out and you're like, damn it.
You just have to have that ability to acknowledge what you did wrong, reset and make a new plan for the next pair.
Yeah. In my case, trust the plan that you did make on the first one. And then when it comes out, you're not like second guessing yourself. I would say, just get out there and, work on your transitions from your break points to your hold points of your second, from first to second birds. I would probably work on a lot of singles, slow and fast, in the break zone and probably a little late in the break zone and maybe even a little early so you can kind of control the targets if needed. You're going to get everything there. But what was really interesting at this shoot, you can say that about their main events and all that. But when we got into the shoot-offs, those targets were not anything like we shot the whole weekend.
Right.
And you ask anybody, it's the shoot-off. And I'm like, Jesus, we didn't see anything like that this weekend. Right. And they were just monster targets with lots of speed and way far distances. And it kind of... because you can do anything with a target. And it was neat to have that variety, I guess, And I think in five stand, they had the first time I've ever shot it where they had following pairs.
Yeah.
So it was like a 1.5 second delay. And then the second target came out. So
that was really cool.
It wasn't on report of the gun. So you had to really think, where you're going to take your first bird, because in a single, you definitely weren't taking it there when you got the following pair. Otherwise, the other target would probably get past you. So you have to be able to have the ability to be able to think about early, late, in the sweet spot. I think for the general masses, I would just say, practice your game to make sure you can hit all targets where they're the biggest, clearest, slowest, and then hopefully, the ones that get by you are just the ones comes with experience, and then you'll get the majority of them. So I don't think they threw any type of target that was,
I never saw
thought it or anything.
Together we shot, between us, we shot five stand, feet task, the main, the prelim, and the super sporting.
Correct.
And I never saw any target that was over the top. I don't think there was anything that was just way out there in left field. You know what I mean? I think everything was fair. Everything was shootable. It was just, make your plan?
It's shootable because, Dalton shot a 99 on one day. And then Cameron came back with a 98 on the other course the next day. So it is possible. I knew the 97s, 96s were there all day long, but man, those two scores were monster scores. So, it felt kind of like the old days because the way John set them, it felt like a big regional tournament we would shoot, 6-7 years ago. And that's kind of how it was. It wasn't that the target or the scores weren't high,
right?
But you still had to hit them. So, yes. And the best ones that could hit them consistently were the ones that win. So it wasn't, they weren't beating you with crazy stuff.
Right. Right. Well, Chad, congratulations. You're now a five stand champion in Ohio State. That's Woo-hoo! Awesome. you got something to take back home with you. We really appreciate you spending some time with us, earlier in the week prior to the Ohio State shoot for a podcast and then wrapping up with us before you get on a plane. So I know you got a plane to catch, so I'll let you run. Thank you very much. We love having you on the show. We appreciate you supporting the show and And we'll be hearing from you again soon, hey, I'm sure.
You know, everybody keep at it, man. Don't give up. You know, I've been struggling for a year now, and, you know, it started clicking again. So you just can't – you got to ask for help when you need it. Don't be afraid of it. Even if you have a big ego and you're struggling, you got to ask somebody. So yeah. Go to the right people. There's lots of us out there. We can help you at different levels. I even guys like me, you know, who some people think are really good. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. I don't think I'm that good. But you have to have somebody that's in your corner that you can talk to. So, you know, hats off to Anthony, Corey, Ben, anybody that's ever helped me, Wendell. All those guys, you know, Bill McGuire, they're my teammates and friends, and, you know, they have the experience I don't, and they share it with me. So,
right.
You know, it's helped immensely, and it feels good, because when you get your ego kicked in enough times, you want to quit, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think anybody does. So, and they get really frustrated, but, so all the people in the lower classes and stuff, man, it's the same for all of us. Keep working hard, find a good coach. And get a good plan and go at it and come out and shoot some targets with us.
Awesome. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate it again very much. And like I said, we will be talking soon.
All right. Take care.
What do you think, Sean? Chad had some pretty good stuff to say there, didn't he?
Well, yeah, and he's a great guy. I got to spend some time with him. I mean, we've talked several times before, but, you know, to meet him in person, he has a big personality. Yeah. You know, to say the least. And he's a great guy. He's very fun to talk to. And he knows just about everybody because he's been around.
Yeah, well, hence the name Rad Chad, you know?
Right, exactly.
So, but, it was a lot of fun. I can't wait to spend some more time with him, you know, going forward. Obviously, we're going to all meet up at the Nationals, but, you know, he said it right there. He will be back next year at the Ohio State shoot. I mean,
yep.
You know, Sean Spindell talked about having 400-plus shooters over the weekend, and I just can't say enough good things about the shoot. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
My personal performance was absolutely terrible for the prelim and the main. I just put so much pressure on myself.
But you did put a good number up on the fee test. So.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I turned a 90.
Yep. Sorry, I missed that on Thursday, but I didn't get there till Friday.
Yeah, I ended up taking an A-class state championship.
Yep. So. Big kudos to you, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And then, so that was on Thursday. And then
not least, but you beat me in the make or break, so now we're 1-1.
I'm more proud of that than that trophy for the V-Task.
I can tell, man. You're pretty stoked. I don't know what my deal. Well, I know what my deal was. I kept a lot of baggage in my brain coming off of a very tough week at work and just couldn't get the mental stuff right. And again, we've talked about it before, man. The mental side of this game is huge. And when you come in and you got stuff rattling through your head that isn't related to shooting, it's not going to do you any favors. And that's right. Exactly what happened to me. I didn't shoot bad, but I didn't shoot to where my level is.
For me, I shot bad. I shot bad, bad, bad. Like, terrible. I'm embarrassed that my scores are up on win score.
Well, because it's all good,
but
man.
You know what? I put the pressure on myself, and it turned into quicksand. And anybody that's listened to this show before knows what I'm talking about. You know, when you start getting into quicksand, the harder you fight it, the deeper you get in. Next thing you know, you're over your head, and it's exactly what happened to me. I let one or two missed targets, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, the state championship, and I just let it go. I mean, I literally did. And hats off to Tim Flanagan that's in my class. He won the state championship. And, you know, I've shot with this guy before, and I've beat him. He's beat me. And I know I can hang right there with him. And to be 20 birds down from him is pathetic.
Yeah.
But it's on me, right? This is a very individualistic sport, and it's on me. I put too much on myself.
Yeah, it's easy to do, though. It's easy to do. We've all done it. We've all been there, done that. And again, the more pressure you put on yourself, I think it just kind of adversely affects your shooting performance.
So speaking of pressure, what do you think? 2 out of 3 on the make or break?
Oh, we're definitely going to have a tiebreaker. I'm not sure when and where yet, but we're definitely going to find out someplace this year.
I'm pretty sure there's a make or break at the Nationals.
Ooh, that'd be a good idea. That would be a great idea. We could do it at the Nationals and probably have a pretty good audience there again. So, God, I want to talk about nerves.
Yeah, right. Hey, listen, thank you very, very much from the bottom of our hearts to Game Boar, Negrini, RE Ranger.
And don't forget Atlas and Bear Pelt. All you guys, we appreciate your support of the show. They are the ones that make this happen from a financial standpoint, and we really, really, really appreciate their support.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing to me when I see the posts online, you know, I bought my Rangers, or I bought my bear pelt vest, or I bought my Minigrini case,
or I bought an Atlas trap,
or I'm using white golds now because of the Dead Pair Podcast. It just blows me away.
It's very humbling. And again, we love all you listeners out there for listening to us. For a couple small town Ohio boys to be able to start this show, we really had no expectations that we would get to this point, but it's just really humbling to have so many people come up to us, thank us, and shake our hands and tell us what a good job we're doing. And believe me, we're working hard to keep getting better each and every episode and bring you better content, more coaches, more information. Right. We're working hard at that, and we want to keep pushing forward and making the show better and better.
And let's not forget those questions for the coaches. I think, and I cannot remember if it's Don Grant or John Woolley is coming up next on our coaches. So it doesn't matter. Either way, send us the questions. If we don't use them on the next show, we'll use them on the following one. We still have some left over from the last episode.
Yep.
Weren't able to get a questions for the coaches in on this episode. I don't know with the scheduling for the next one, but we'll try our best. Please keep sending those questions in, okay? I mean, seriously, guys, the coaches love it. They think this is awesome. They get to interact with all of you in some way or form, and they love doing this.
And not to mention, you're putting out great information to learn from for everybody.
Right.
So come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Send them in.
And then also, like us, follow us, Facebook, Instagram, and, you know, subscribe to us through your favorite podcast outlet, whether that's through Google or iHeartRadio or Spotify, Stitcher, whatever, however you listen to us, subscribe to us, leave us a rating. We'd really appreciate it. That lets the sponsors know that we're doing our job. So yeah,
absolutely. And last but not least, take someone new shooting. Get somebody involved in this sport. Show them how much fun this sport is. Show them that they can go out, have a great time, have a smile, and they'll get hooked on it.
That's right. And then you can come out. You can show them all the great things that you enjoy on the weekends.
Exactly.
But until next week, we'll see you right here on
the Dead Pair Podcast.